Let us now turn our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 7. We'll start with verse 1. Revelation 7, starting with verse 1, we'll read 1 to 4. It reads, "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." The name of my sermon today is The Seal of God. The first thing I want to mention is the sealing of the 144,000 is an unfulfilled prophecy. It hasn't happened yet. And that means you can be part of this prophecy. You can be part of its actual fulfillment. Today I will not be focusing on the people or the number, 144,000, but I'll be talking about the seal itself, how you receive the seal, what does it consist of? So let's start finding out by turning to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. It reads, 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, 21 and 22. "Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." We'll stop right there. Here we read about being sealed, sealed with the Spirit. Some people will say to you, this is not the same as the seal of God talked about in the book of Revelation. Some people will tell you, yes, it is the same. What I'll tell you is it's part of it. It's not the whole thing. But I believe it's the most important part. If you don't receive the Holy Spirit, the other parts cannot follow. But notice what Paul says in verse 22. It reads, "Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." If you look up the word earnest in Webster's 1828 dictionary, earnest can also mean a pledge or a deposit. Most of the time we use that word today as an adjective, meaning honest or sincere. But earnest can also be a noun again, a pledge or a deposit. So you receive the Holy Spirit as a down payment. But what? A down payment of what? Let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 13 and 14, it reads, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." There you have it again, being sealed with the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, "Which is the earnest," again, the down payment, the pledge or deposit, "of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." It says, which is the earnest, meaning the down payment of what? Our inheritance. So you receive the Holy Spirit as a down payment of the inheritance that's waiting for you. What inheritance is that? Your inheritance in heaven. So when you receive the Holy Spirit, the Spirit is given you as a down payment until the day of redemption, it says. That refers to Jesus coming. Let's read Ephesians 4:30. The thought is repeated here. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." So, again, Paul is speaking of receiving the Holy Spirit as a down payment of the glory that awaits you. And this is the first step towards receiving the seal of God mentioned in the book of Revelation. Now, we read in the book of Revelation that the seal received there is a seal for protection. Nonetheless, part of that seal is receiving the Holy Spirit. Let's turn now to the book of Hebrews and find out the next component, the next part of the seal of God. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. The Apostle Paul quotes the book of Jeremiah, and we will go to Jeremiah after this, but it says in Hebrews 8:10, "For this is the covenant," he's speaking about the new covenant promise, "for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." Notice what Paul says in his quotation of Jeremiah. "I will put my laws into their mind." That's God speaking. "I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts." So they're put into the mind, written in the heart. Now let's see how it's worded in the same book, chapter 10, Hebrews 10:16. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." So God's law is put into both places. It's put into your mind and into your heart. And it's written in both places. I don't know if all of you know this, but in ancient Hebrew, the heart is a symbol of the intellect. If a man lacked heart, that meant he lacked understanding. If he was slow of heart, that meant he was slow of understanding. So God's law is put into the minds and hearts of his people and written in both places. Let's turn to the book of Jeremiah. We'll read the Old Testament original, Jeremiah 31:33. Jeremiah 31:33. It reads, Jeremiah 31:33, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." So we know from Paul's quotations, God's law is put into our minds and our hearts and written in both places. Here, God says, "I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts." He puts his law into every part of our body, every part of what we are. God puts his law in there, and he writes it in your heart. So that's the next step towards receiving the seal of God, having God's law in your inward parts, in your mind, in your heart, having it written in your heart and in your mind. So first, he seals you with the Holy Spirit, which is a down payment of the glory that awaits you. And through his Holy Spirit, he writes his law in your heart, your mind, in your inward parts. Now I want to take you to the book of Esther. For some of you, this part might be a review. Let's turn to the book of Esther, chapter 3. This is adding on to what we just went over, God writing his law in your hearts, minds, putting it in your inward parts. The book of Esther, chapter 3. And Esther chapter 3, and we'll read verse 12. It says, in Esther 3, verse 12, "Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants, and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of King Ahasuerus, it was written and sealed with the king's ring." Sealed with the king's ring. I want to read another verse for that, another place in Esther. Let's turn to Esther 8, chapter 8. Esther chapter 8. We'll read verses 8 and 10. It reads, "Write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring." So we read again about a seal with the king's ring. "For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse." Verse 10. "And he who wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name and sealed it with the king's ring and sent letters by posts on horseback and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries." So all the verses we just read from the book of Esther speak of the king having a ring. And what was the ring used for? It was for sealing documents. In ancient times, a document, when closed up, wax would be put on it to seal it, and the king's ring would be heated up and pressed into the wax to seal the document. That seal was also used to authenticate the document. The ring would have an emblem on it, and sometimes the king's name. So you'd have the king's emblem and his name. It was to authenticate the document, to show that it was authorized by the king. You'd seal something with the king's ring. So the question now is, does our king, our creator, have a seal? Let's turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 31, verses 16 and 17. Exodus 31, 16 and 17. Exodus chapter 31, 16 and 17. It reads, "Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Notice in verse 17, the Lord says, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. So the Sabbath is a sign between God and his people forever. Now stay where you are in Exodus. I'll read something to you from Paul's writings. Speaking of Abraham, Paul says, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also." At the beginning of the verse, it says, "He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had." So the word sign and seal, that was Romans 4:11. Sign and seal are used interchangeably. And in Exodus, God called the Sabbath a sign between himself and his people. Let's turn to chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. Why would the Sabbath be a sign or a seal between God and his people? Exodus chapter 20, starting with verse 8. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The Sabbath contains three things that the other Ten Commandments don't have. It contains the Lord's name, the Lord your God. And it says that he made heaven and earth. What does that tell you? That tells you he's the creator. He created heaven and earth. That's his territory. So it gives you his name, the Lord your God. Of course, one thing I have to correct myself on is his name is mentioned in other commandments, but this has the combination of all three. His name, the Lord thy God, again, in that he made heaven and earth. Made, that means he's the creator, heaven and earth, his territory. That's his sign, that's his seal. The sign between him and his people. And that's the part of his law that contains those the combination of those three things, his name, title, and territory. So when you have God's law written in your heart and in your mind, you have also the Sabbath written in your heart and your mind, which contains, again, his name, title, and territory. It's a sign between himself and his people. One other thing I want to mention is it does say in the book of Exodus, it's a sign between God and the children of Israel. One thing to keep in mind is even the new covenant promise is a promise to the house of Israel. Are we the house of Israel? Let's turn to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. If you remember, Paul says in Romans 4 that he mentions Abraham being the father of all them that believe. Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 2, 28 and 29, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Here's where we get from the Bible the concept of a spiritual Jew. So those who accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are spiritual Jews. Let's turn now to the book of Galatians. You have Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, then you have Galatians. Chapter 3, starting in verse 7. So again, friends, God seals you first by giving you the Holy Spirit, the down payment of the glory that awaits you. And through the Holy Spirit, he writes his law in your heart, in your mind, and puts it in your inward parts. And that law includes the Sabbath, which the fourth commandment, which gives us God's name, title, and territory. And Paul says that those who accept Jesus as Lord and Savior are spiritual Jews. So the new covenant so just as much as the new covenant promise is for spiritual Jews as it is for literal, and the Sabbath commandment is just as much for spiritual Jews as it is for literal. Galatians 3, starting with verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And so then they, which be of faith, are blessed with faithful Abraham. Same chapter, verse 29. And if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you are Christ's, you are spiritual Jews. You are Abraham's spiritual descendants. You are the spiritual house of Israel. And the new covenant promise that comes from God's new covenant promise to write his law in your heart and your mind is just as much for you. And so is the Sabbath commandment, which is part of that law written in your heart and mind. So let's turn now to the book of Revelation for the last part of receiving the seal of God. Revelation chapter 3. Again, as mentioned, the sealing of the 144,000 is an unfulfilled prophecy. You can be a part of it. You can be part of the actual fulfillment of that prophecy. Revelation 3:12 says, this is Jesus speaking, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, talking about his Father, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Praise God. Jesus mentions that he himself has a new name. Don't you want to know it? Do you want it in your forehead? Do you want it written on you? God's people, those who receive the seal of God, friends, will be so consecrated to God that they'll have the Father's name in their foreheads, along with the name of the city, New Jerusalem. And Jesus' new name. That will be their focus. That's what their minds will be on. First and foremost, God, New Jerusalem, and Jesus' new name. And this can be your experience. Let us turn to Revelation 14. The thought here is repeated. It says in verse 1, chapter 14, verse 1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And then let's turn to chapter 22 also. Chapter 22. Starting with verse 3. It says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, meaning in the holy city. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. So again, friends, God seals you, starting with the Holy Spirit. You have to have the Holy Spirit in your heart in order for the other parts to follow, parts of the seal of God. His law is written in your heart and mind again, and put in your inward parts, including the Sabbath commandment, containing his name, title, and territory. And then the Father's name, the name of the city, New Jerusalem, and Jesus' new name are written on you. Praise God. This is an experience that you can have, each of you here. You can be part of that. Let's turn to, in closing, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Remember, friends, it'll be those who have this experience who will be ready to meet Jesus at his second coming. I want to be ready to meet my Lord at his coming. I want him to be able to recognize me as one of his own. May we each, by God's grace, be recognized as one of his own. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. May this be our experience by the grace of God every day. Amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for another blessed day, and we pray that as we leave this house of worship, that your Spirit will continue to teach, comfort, and guide us. And we pray that you'll continue to strengthen us as we go through this life. And we pray that you'll continue to give us a desire to know you more, to do your will, to follow you, and to be with you in your kingdom. And we thank you so much for giving us your holy scriptures, which reveal your will for us. And we thank you again for sending the Holy Ghost to comfort us. And we thank you for the angels protecting us. And most of all, we thank you so much for the great sacrifice of your Son, our dear Lord Jesus. And we thank you that in him we have the hope of eternal salvation. All these things we ask in Jesus' all-sufficient and worthy name. Amen.